and like Simone was happening, and it just really shows the span of the Black woman experience. I think like week to week we keep having these, like this range, right? Like it's
whiplash.
Whiplash is where it's like excitement and then also like trials, and it's like we're being prompted up as a presidential candidate and shot in the face.
And it's like we keep turning black over and over again.
Every week
it's like, oh, that is right. I turn black again.
Yes. That's it.
Because this is what it feels like to be a black woman in America.
For me, I realize a lot of the friendships I've had from 20 years ago aren't in my season right now because I'm evolving.
Just like Simone refused to let somebody write her story, I refuse to let anybody take the pen away from us and write our story.
And I love that we're a part of your journey.
I love that y'all are in my journey!
Hey there, welcome to Wait a Minute, a show where we tell the truth, take the conversation out of the group chat, and kiki with friends. I'm Joelle Nicole Johnson. Joining me is my girl, Ed Snatcher, political strategist and founder of Watering Hole Media, Ashley Allison. She cute. And our guest today is part of the Watering Hole family, journalist and host Sylvia O'Bell.
Hello.
Yes. Today, we want to shout out Simone Biles, who made history at the Olympics as the most decorated gymnast of all time. It's even more amazing after she pulled out of the team competition during the Tokyo Olympics for her mental health. What is Simone teaching all of us about how to come back when life levels us?
Oh, I feel like it made her, I think it showed, for me, it really showed that sometimes like that your struggles make your story even more beautiful.
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing to feel when it's, you're in the heart and the valley part of the story. But like, I think about how amazing the story obviously would have been without Tokyo. But I think Tokyo humanized it in a way where sometimes you see somebody, especially a black woman with such supernatural abilities, and you think, oh, this is just what she could do. Like, it's just easy, almost, in a way. Like, you were just born with these, like, supernatural powers or something to flip in this way. To, like, you know, you get accustomed to it. To see the kind of work it took for her to have to go through the twisties and then mentally come back from that. Like, and I watched her documentary on Netflix, and it was, she was saying how she would go to the gym, do, like, one thing, and then leave. Like, until she could do two things, until she could do three things. And I think even just that process of it made seeing her triumph in Paris, like, it made me even more emotional than any other gold that she's ever won.
Yeah. You know, because the Olympics only are every 4 years, you're told that, like, you kind of get one shot, maybe two shot. And I feel like we're always told that as people, it's like, you know, make it or break it. And that's just not life.
No.
And to realize 4 years ago that she was like, you know what, this is not my moment. And it actually is my moment to pick me. And I'm okay, I have four more years. Like, she didn't let the story end on her. She was like, this is my story to write, and I'm gonna own it. And I've just been really, I'm really proud of her. She's still so young.
She's still a baby.
She's like 27, but in gymnastic years, like she's the oldest on the team.
Yeah.
And she said she didn't think she would still be competing at this age because, sports, I don't know.
But you know what? Maybe she might not be still competing if she had pushed herself.
Yes.
Her longevity is a possibility because she actually took care of her full self,
absolutely,
not just in the moment.
Yeah. And a quick story about quitting. Okay, I was in the color guard in high school. That's the marching band with the flags, right? And I was the captain of the color guard. So they was like, girl, you good. You should audition for the drum corps. Drum corps, marching band on steroids. So I was like, let me go to this drum corps. I pull up with my little flag, which was like 4 feet and 2.5 pounds. They laughed at me and handed me a 6-foot flag that was 7 pounds. So I got through the first part of the flag audition, but it was hard, right? Then they were like, now it's time for the sabers. The saber is essentially a sword. In my high school, my saber was padded. They hand me an unpadded saber that has just electrical tape over the blade. And they were like, we're gonna toss this 6 revolutions in the air. I could do triples. I was like, you know what? I don't think this is for me. I'm gonna quit. They're like, no, Joelle, don't quit. I was like, I'm quitting. I don't care what you say. But I couldn't leave because we were at a campsite, so I had to wait for a bus. I go outside of the gym. I'm chilling, waiting for this bus. I hear a scream of bloody murder inside that gym.
Oh.
This girl comes out. Her face is all bloody. Turns out the dude next to her had tossed this saber in the air, didn't catch it, and it slashed the size of her face. She stood in the spot that I had just left not 10 minutes before that. And I was like, look at God.
Wait.
Sometimes it's okay to quit, baby.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry right now.
I'm that story like... had more twists and turns than the thing itself. Because
I feel so confused.
Yes.
You took us on a ride and I did not know what the moral of the story was going to be.
Quit's okay.
Ooh. Wait, is homegirl okay?
I don't know. I hope so. Is Carrie Strug okay? We don't know.
No.
We don't know who's okay these days.
But she said, but mess for me and my face. Know,
yeah. Because you were like, this doesn't make sense to me.
No.
And I am not prepared to do this. I have a story. It's not really about quitting, but this past New Year's, I went to Belize. It was not a great experience, but one of the best things that I did really on any vacation was I went snorkeling. And it was like a 3-hour snorkel trip. While I was snorkeling, I just saw like creatures that I, like every octopus and barracudas and everything you could imagine. And then all of a sudden I looked over to my left and I saw scuba divers. And there was a part of me that was like being lured to the scuba diving people because it was like, that seems cool. And I had to be like, wait a minute, Ashley, you are not prepared for scuba diving. It doesn't mean that you will never scuba dive, but right now, snorkel, baby, snorkel. Like, that has been my theme for this year is like, stay in your lane, stay in your assignment, figure out what you're supposed to be doing. And if you want to go to a deeper level and start snorkeling, take the classes.
Get the equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Train, and then scuba. But right now, you snorkeling.
Right.
Yes. And be satisfied and okay with that. So it's not a quitting story, but it's like just a different way. So often we like chase the other thing, chase the dream that people tell you have to have.
Yes.
Chase the urgency.
Yeah. Do a 6 revolution.
Yep.
Thing.
Thing.
No. 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 It's okay to say no.
It's okay to say no.
It's okay to say no. It's okay to walk out. And like, to walk out, like, not just like of an office or like a small crowd. Like, she walked out on international television.
Yes.
Like, had to even let her team know. Like, on people, like, I know that team, like, they get close. Those are like, it's a family. So it's by no means easy what she did. And obviously, like, it was during COVID too. Like, her family wasn't there. She had no support. Like, I couldn't even imagine, but I think that's such a huge testament to trusting yourself and also just trusting the timing of your life.
Yes.
Because I think when you feel like you have to do something now, or if it's not happening now, then it's never gonna happen. That's like a scarcity mindset.
Yes.
And like, I've been trying so hard to work in an abundance mindset where it's like, this fear of like the unknown or like that I can't, it's all coming from like a negative place.
Yes.
Like I have to figure out how to just trust that things are gonna go how they're supposed to go. Cause if it was supposed to be this moment, it would be.
That's
but it's
right.
not.
Absolutely.
And so that means it's gonna be another moment, but not that there's gonna never, that it's the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or like what you think you wanted isn't actually what you want. Mm-hmm. And like you're chasing something and then you get in and you're like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was. It also, her behavior provided an opportunity for other people, the other gymnast, Suni Lee. She got an international stage in Tokyo, and now they're both thriving and they both crushed it together. And so it's like a story about sisterhood and teamwork and self-determination, but also like, I'm not in a rush.
Yes. No. And also don't forget my girl Jordan, because Jordan too, and I think I read, and I'm hoping this is true, I read that, you know, Jordan, like Simone invited her to come work out with them in Texas, and like she was like, helped build her confidence up because she had been trying to qualify for a long time and like wasn't able to. And Simone said, come to Texas, work out in our gym. Like, it's a better environment.
Yes.
And like instilled the, cause it also showed that like, so she had the skills, but how much confidence plays a role in your ability to execute your performance. And I just think the whole team story is beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yes.
I'm laughing at all the jokes about when my child asked me why I named her Simone Jordan Chives Lee or something like that. It was like, it was because, baby, I am never more patriotic than when I'm watching the Olympics.
I know.
Yes, that is black patriotism in a nutshell.
Yes.
Also in the documentary, which y'all should watch if you haven't, the timeline of her dropping out of the Olympics for mental health, but then having to testify at a Senate hearing about the abuse that they went through in gymnastics and realizing part of her mental health was that. Mm-hmm. And then she had to unpack all of that after that. So it was like 2020, 2021. She unpacked all of that with a therapist and then came back and won gold in the Olympics.
Watch me now.
Watch me. It's amazing. And it also speaks to like how like, and I know nobody likes to go through hard times, but it does humanize you in a way where now you can inspire others. Like, I think it just, all it did was make her life even more inspiring. I think it just expanded the amount of people she was able to touch and impact. Mm.
She touched me.
I got goosebumps.
It also then like brought me back to my childhood of watching a Dominique Dawes.
Yeah. Or,
you know, just those moments where we went from our gymnastics team not representing what America looks like and now it being extremely diverse, women of color. I'm just so proud of those young women and all the inspiration that they have made for the other little girls and the athletes. It just, those girls are tough.
Yeah. Shout out to Team USA.
She said FAAFO.
Yes.
Around and find out.
Yes. And one little side note about her posting and being a little bit petty in the caption. I love you, Simone, because you got to drag people a little bit when they doubt you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Speaking of trials and tribulations, there was another incident. Our homegirl, Coco Gauff, is calling out umpires for the way they are calling the matches that she ultimately lost in. And so it was so hard to see Coco in tears out of frustration because she always advocates for herself and for us. Sylvia, I know, now first of all, I didn't know, but now I know. And I'm like, okay, girl, you interview Serena?
And Venus. Oh! I've done cover stories on both of the ladies. It is one of my proudest accomplishments, honestly.
yes, I feel accomplished just sitting here with you because you did it.
Yeah.
This is like a humble flex. Okay. Yeah. I saw Serena play the last game she won in tennis.
Oh.
At the U.S. Open. I was like feeling so inspired and I was in New York and I had never been to the U.S. Open before, even though I lived here for a very long time. Yeah. And I was like, I am not missing this. Mm. Like Serena is me and I am Serena and like her greatness allows me to be great and I'm going to witness her magic. I will be in the venue. And so I went by myself. So I'm a big Serena fan.
Whomst amongst us.
Whomst. And I would just like to say, I touched both of them. The Critics' Choice Awards.
Help, please.
So.
Wait.
We got the pictures to prove it, baby.
So now that we've all proven our proximity.
Touch the hem of her garment.
Touch the body, baby.
Just in awe of sis, love her so much. But no, she has brought up this issue. Obviously, she's pioneered this issue in a lot of way, her and her sister, Venus. And there's like multiple feelings, right? It's sad to see Coco, like, we've seen Serena in that position. Yeah. We've seen her have to deal with the umpires and champion herself in that way and not be afraid to stand down or be painted an angry black woman or all of these things. In a sport where you're somehow supposed to be this like super athlete and still docile. I feel like tennis is one of those sports that still like tries to like emphasize that juxtaposition.
Femininity,
femininity, even in the outfits. And so I think it was definitely a nod to like Serena and the people who have done it in the past that Coco felt the ability to have to do it and stand up for herself. I also just think it's so sad that she had to.
Yes.
And you can see the exhaustion even when she was like, I always have to like to do this. She went from she was just holding the pole for the whole American team, her and LeBron, like at the opening ceremony. Mm. She had just won the US Open, I believe it was. The US Open and like she's had this, and then she's at the Olympics. It's like your dream. And to lose on a technicality, and I read about the technicality, and I do think it was dumb. Like, the umpire, or whoever the person is, called, said that the person, like, her shot was out. So then Coco didn't fully swing back because they blew the whistle and whatever. And then they said, oh, actually, it's in. So now it counts as a missed point. Like, Coco was like, I would have lost my shit.
That's a do-over.
That's
playground basics. Do-over.
Yeah. Do-over. I've seen people fight more over less. Have you seen a spades game gone wrong?
Listen.
I mean, hello.
Like, let alone At the Olympics, in Paris, and I've worked my ass off to be here.
Just because you're bad at your job calling doesn't mean that I have to suffer because you are insufficient.
Yes. And so I, my heart literally broke. You could see the distress in her face. And it's just also showed the span, because at the same time that was happening, like Simone was happening, and it just really shows the span of the Black woman experience. Mm-hmm. I think like week to week, we keep having these, like this range, right? Like it's
whiplash.
Whiplash is where it's like excitement and then also like like trials. And it's like showing like 1 minute, like I think the week before it was like we're being prompted up as a presidential candidate and shot in the face. Yep. And it's like, and then this
it's
week.
Like it's like we keep turning black over and over
Absolutely.
Again.
Every week
it's like, oh, day. That is right. I turned black again.
That's
because
it.
Because this is what it feels like to be a Black woman in America.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being angry, crying, any of that. I'm glad they're able to show their emotions, because ain't nobody mad when a white man does it. John McElroy used to do that. Is that his name?
Yeah.
He used to do that all the time. He would throw absolute tantrums and break.
John McElroy.
Y'all know who we talking about.
You know who we talking about. The angry white man.
Put it on a t-shirt.
So ain't nobody mad at him. I ain't mad at Coco, girl. And you're amazing. You wanted the goats. And you did it.
And it was warranted. And I feel for you. I hope you keep playing tennis. I hope even seeing Simone reminds Coco that, like, even when the hard Olympics happen,
keep going.
Yes.
Because it doesn't have to be the end of your story. But it is, it's devastating, and I feel for her. But yeah, it's we've seen it happen time and time again. We saw Naomi step out about the press after she had won and said, I can't, you know, like, I just cannot do this, and it's taking a step back. Like, it's a lot. I think seeing the new generation of Black women in tennis shows how much Venus and Serena had to carry.
Yes.
Because at least with this new generation, they're like, feel more comfortable being open about it and speaking about it, and like, even all the hard parts, and they had to kind of wear that silently.
Yeah.
And or just express it in the moment of the game, but they didn't really, you know, it wasn't something that we were seeing them like opt out of things or like, you know, do this, or like even the longevity of how long they've put up with it.
Yeah.
It just, to me, shows like I hate it, and I'm inspired by it all at the same time.
Yeah. Two things can be true.
Yes, right.
Always.
Yes. Always.
It's true, and it feels like.
Speaking of longevity, let me tell you what wasn't on anybody's bingo card. Snoop Dogg and Flavor Flav being official Olympic ambassadors. I love how these rappers, 30 years later, are now the face of American patriotism. Is this a masterclass in career reinvention?
Wait, okay. I love this. It tickles me in my tummy, you know? And
my tummy.
I saw this video of Snoop with Michael Phelps.
Yes.
And he was like, pretending that he went. Yes. It's just, and he's so skinny and long. And he's like, I don't need goggles. My eyes can swim underwater. And then Flavor Flav, water polo.
With a waterproof clock. A waterproof clock around his neck.
Stay ready,
in the
so
water.
You don't gotta get ready. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
And even him sponsoring the team or helping them get the funding.
Yes.
Like, I didn't realize that like Olympic teams have to fund themselves or get a sponsor.
Yeah.
Like, depending on if your country doesn't help you. That's a whole other topic, a whole other episode. But Flavor Flav being like, oh yeah, I'm down to help the women's water polo team. It's like the most random thing that happens is Flavor of Love.
Or him and Bridget Nielsen.
What show was that? It's one
of his love stories.
It's the fact that there's a whole generation of people who are watching the Olympics who don't know that, like, A, the Flavor of Love history.
Yes.
But then also even, I think about, like, when Snoop and Flav both came out into the, like, the zeitgeist, and, like, Doggy Style. Like, when you saw Doggy Style being censored across, like, every, and, like, Snoop on trial for who knows what, like, with his fresh perm and his edges that are always laid.
Absolutely.
Yes. I didn't think to myself, there's the man that's gonna represent America in the Olympics in 2024 in Paris.
I mean, his evolution from Death Row, Chronic, Snoop Dogg, to Martha Stewart.
Little League coach.
Little League coach.
Like, just America's sweetheart.
Child storybooks
yes.
to a commentator.
Grandfather.
Grandfather.
Your grandpa Snoop.
I mean, that's a couple lives.
Yes.
I also think that it's also proof about like also where like society has come to because yeah. there's things about Snoop that have not changed. But people just don't care.
They don't care, yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure he crip walked while holding the American flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what I saw.
I'm sure him and Michael Phelps smoked a blunt
before.
I'm like, he's still a very active weed smoker, you know what I mean? And I think the irony of him being hanging with Michael Phelps.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Considering all that backstory, it's funny. But, like, you know, for that to be a thing and he can still be in this position, I think speaks to some
progress. Or even, like, Flavor Flav and N.W.A., like, Public Enemy, like, era of rap and just being, like, fight the power and now
to
being,
like women's
water polo. That's growth. That's what do they call it when you have, that's range. That's range.
And also, I would like to challenge any billionaires or people who are millionaires to do the same thing. It's really easy to get some good press and be a good person. Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk. Well, Elon, Jeff Bezos, maybe you might be, you know, give the Amazon workers like $100 an hour. How about that? That would be no money out of his pocket.
None.
Absolutely nothing. And he'd be a hero. Jeff, don't you want to be a hero? You got an ego.
We believe in you, Jeff.
We believe in you, Jeff.
Don't
let him
you
unionize.
Right.
That part.
Workers' rights.
Yeah.
You mentioned the opening and Coco and LeBron being the flag bearers. And if you see the opening boat, like the way Paris did the Olympics, and
it's raining.
And there's like United Colors of Benetton in terms of like the spectrum of colors is like a gradient from like cocoa brown to like lighter skin folks.
It was
Asian
the Fenty.
It was color palette. Yes, and I was like, I'm gonna start telling kids that was the Mayflower. That led us to freedom.
Twitter literally was like, I'm gonna tell my kids this was George Washington.
Yes.
It was like LeBron on the flag.
Yes.
Water. Everybody was like, this is my Independence Day.
Yes. I mean,
this was actually July 1776.
Yes. This is the America that a lot of people are afraid is actually happening. And I think the difference is like, when I was younger, we had the dream team, right? Mm-hmm. The basketball. And so most of that team was all black. But now we are seeing more sports are becoming black athletes of color are starting to dominate them. And not in just like the traditional sports that black folks have been dominating in. And we're seeing that with the Simone Biles of the world, the Coco Gauffs of the world. And what will be next? You don't have to be afraid, America.
No.
The ride is fun.
We swim in, we water polo in. There's a black woman on the water polo team, baby.
Listen, we're not afraid to get our hair wet no more. We figured it out. But no, it is something though to see like black people be such the face like of the American Olympic team, even from Beyonce opening and introducing the team. And it's funny because these are the only times I'm proud to be American is like when I see Beyonce or Simone or Sha'Carri performing.
Yes.
But I know that about me and like my crew, but just like for us to have like represent all of America when we're literally fighting for our freedom in this election.
Yes.
Like at the same time.
Yes.
Is nuts. I'm like wondering like what does the other half of America think? Are they just not watching the Olympics? Are they like, how do they feel about what's being represented? I mean, I don't care too much because I'm having so much fun, but like it's such a weird juxtaposition. Like you said, like everything else where it's like, This is America. We are its greatest export like of talent, and yet we have a hard time getting basic human right privileges.
It doesn't have to be this way. And I refuse, just like Simone refused to let somebody write her story, I refuse to let anybody take the pen away from us and write our story and how America and the direction that we're gonna go. And it is, and LeBron and Coco were George Washington crossing the Delaware.
Absolutely.
That's my America.
That's George and Martha.
Absolutely. Everything is Fine is that talk show that you always wished you had.
Watering Hole Media takes chances on people who may have big or small platforms, but have a voice that matters.
We can really share and give opinions that people may not feel represented on television.
Because everything is fine, right? Wrong.
My unsolicited takes, if they're being solicited, oh yeah.
What gives me hope?
Our people.
Gen Z gives me hope.
And seeing that people care.
The fact that I know regardless of what happens in this world, we will always be okay because we have community.
I think it's so important to have spaces like this where we can come and just have real talk.
So y'all, we are celebrating a birthday. Ashley is the birthday girl. What did you do and how are you reflecting on the year?
Yes. I love birthdays. Yeah. I think you should celebrate life.
Absolutely.
And I went to Miami. I have been working, y'all.
Yes. I'm like so happy you had time to go to Miami.
And one of my friends like really pushed me and said, let's go. So we went on my actual birthday. Literally, I fell asleep at the pool so hard that somebody thought I had stopped breathing. And was like, is she okay? And I was just like,
Mouth open at the pool.
Just drool. We literally ordered Chinese to the restaurant and like I was in bed by midnight. It was the best way because I just was so tired. But we had like fun. We went to dinner the next night. And I do use my birthday as a reflection point because it's somewhat like halfway through the year, and so it's a good way to check in and just like, okay, how's this year going? Mm-hmm. I think what I am reflecting on this year, other than like my knees not being the same, my sciatica,
yes.
LOL.
Literally acting up regularly. My stomach is sometimes not as tough as it used to be, but honestly what I'm thinking is like, it's kind of relates to what we were just talking. It's like, my story is just starting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I turned 42, and I didn't think my life would be what it is right now because I was told what it was supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And I believed the stories that were told about me. But one day I had to like break free and say, no, I'm doing something different. I'm gonna start Watering Hole Media.
Yes.
And like have an idea in 2009 and believe enough in yourself to do it. Mm-hmm. And realizing that it kind of goes back to my snorkeling and scuba. It was like in 2009, I was snorkeling with Watering Hole Media. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like I'm scubaing. Because I'm going deeper, okay? And I'm like, and now I'm like deep diving into it. And I have the skills and tools and relationships to do it better.
Yeah.
It's just starting.
Absolutely. Mm. And to go to the opposite of that, me reflecting, because I'll be 43 this year, and just to know, I always knew I wasn't going to be on the regular path that people told me, you know, a 9-to-5 job, if only because I'm a night owl and I can't wake up for a 9 a.m. job. I mean, they want me here at 12:30 p.m. That's difficult enough. So I always knew I wasn't going to have that life. And I was like, I don't care what y'all tell me, you know. Kids and a house and a picket fence and a dog, that ain't me.
Yeah.
I'm a penthouse apartment kind of girl.
Hey.
Luxury style, sleep in, have drinks, all that type.
I want to be George.
Like, we moving on up, baby. She up and it's stuck.
No, that is interesting. I love that because I do think that, like, I don't think my life is anything the way I thought it would be, but I also love the surprises that are within that. Mm-hmm. But, and I do think that there's like something, I feel like in my 20s, it was very much like me thinking I actually had control over what I was trying to get to. And then I, like now I'm in my 30s and I'm like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
I actually, we'll see what the plan is kind of a thing. And I think there is some peace and freedom to that in an extent, but also it's just, when you let go of a narrative, you get to be surprised by even what is better and meant for you. So yeah. I think that that's beautiful. And even to see how the timing of, to bring back the theme of trusting the timing of your life, like you're able to do this now bigger and better because of the relationships you formed during the wait.
Yeah.
You know?
And I just feel very blessed and excited for this year. And in a moment where like women like me without children who don't have a partner are being talked about really negatively yeah. by leaders, it's okay. Like, it's okay. And whoever, I think about little Ashley a lot of times, and when I wasn't okay, and like this place I went in Miami, I remember going there maybe like 5 or 6 years ago and feeling very uncomfortable in the body I was in and not feeling beautiful and loving myself and really being like, and same environment, beautiful environment, but I wasn't okay. So having to really like say, I'm gonna take the time, focus on myself, learn to heal and get whole because of this, again, stories people had told me. And now I'm like, I love my life.
I love it.
Love
so much.
My life. And I know the best is yet to come.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also being in the 40s, it's like you in the 30s, we in our 40s. Oh, God, come on over to 40s.
Tell me what I have to look
forward
to.
I love getting older.
You will get sciatica.
Yes. my bones hurt. My bones hurt.
Sciatica.
But just stretch.
They should drop it while you can because my knees still do work.
Yes.
Shout out to Meg.
Yes.
My work, like one Hotties. Down and one up.
You
like
one drop.
One a day.
You get one drop.
One day.
Not too many. Don't extend it.
Yeah.
I wish we had time for you to really break down how you went from... like the acceptance of it and then loving it even more, because I do think that that in itself is a whole thing.
It is.
Yes.
But I love this for you. And I love that it's good to, we need these models and examples and like these testimonies, because not everybody's life is going to be the same.
And I love that we're a part of your journey.
I love that y'all are in my journey.
So one thing I will say, I spent my birthday with one of my line sisters who we have been friends now for 22, 23 years, because we were friends before we pledged Delta together. And that friendship has seen an evolution of, we were close in college, she got married, we lived in different cities, we didn't talk often, but when in town we saw each other. And then in the last 3 or 4 years, we realigned and like our travel buddies and like are each other's support system. And so one thing that I have learned about friendships over the years, and it really was confirmed when we did our first taping and we had the most of the cast here and we had our launch party dinner.
Yes.
And I was looking at people from every phase of life, and that often people feel like when you meet somebody and then there's distance, it's because the friendship isn't real. I think the friendship's truest test is when there's distance and they come back together. Because then you know the consistency of it is not what makes it good. It's the genuine connection that can sustain some period of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I firmly believe that all relationships are a reason, a season, and a lifetime. And sometimes a person is just in your life for a reason. And then also you have that season. But for me, I realize a lot of the friendships I've had from 20 years ago aren't in my season right now, because I'm evolving.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in therapy. I've been in therapy so long. It's so many different types. I love it. I'm addicted. And also in my career, you know, evolving in your career. If certain people haven't, I don't know, left my home state of New Jersey, it's hard.
Hey, Jersey girl.
Hey, girl. Oh, cute. Me either.
No, they still there.
Yeah, they still there. And sometimes I can't relate to that at this point. And a friendship, a lot of my friendships are changing. That doesn't mean they were not real.
Right.
That doesn't mean they won't come back again. But also knowing that sometimes I don't have the space to deal with a person that isn't growing on their own, you know.
Yeah, I think it's like, there's something about the different types of people we all are, and I think as seekers and it's important to, I have my friendships with my fellow seekers, and we can talk about, like, you know, we're constantly looking to evolve, grow, and achieve, and like, and attain, like, just, you know, just forward movement. And I think that, you know, there are different types of friends. Like, I'm somebody who, my friends joke, I keep friends from the womb. Like, I have friends that I've known my whole life, like, since we were kids. I've had friends, like, high school besties. I have my college besties. And then I have, like, my New York media friends who I made while 10 years living here. And half of us moved to L.A. at the same time. And, like, we're all still cool. And I think that, like, each group serves me in a different way. Yeah. And I think like that's, and I think to your point about how like it's always in motion.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, it's like, okay, at this time in my life, these are the people I need. And then I have these people here too, to always remind me who I am. And I do love having a group of friends who have
no, like, who could care less about the industry? And yes. I love that, yes. too. Yes. You know what I mean? And so it's like, and I think with getting older, you also realize that, like, the importance of having people who hold parts of you or who remember parts of you, the past parts of you, I think there's something so beautiful about there that is. As I continue to get older, because it's like, they can remind you who you are.
Yes.
And when they see parts of you, they're like, well, you know, you did used to be that way. Like, that level yes. of having somebody who knows you like that, to me, is so important. Because we do, I think life is a series of just finding yourself again and again. And I yeah. think it's beautiful to have people who help you.
And the reminder is not a shaming.
No. It's like,
and that's the difference.
Yeah, that's the difference.
It's people who constantly want to remind you when you weren't the best version of yourself. Those are people I'm like, thanks.
Yes, yeah. You want I didn't to keep them around.
Yeah, it's yes. like, okay, what's that? What was that about? But
yeah, but also sometimes the reminder isn't even verbal. It's like you get around them
and you can feel
and
it.
You remember who
yes.
you are.
Yes,
like it's like, yes. like it's like there's that too where it's like, oh, I'm around my people. I'm able to let my hair down. Like this is who I am when I am unguarded and yes. I'm not like in protection mode and like I'm. You know, it's just remind like let your hair down kind of a thing. So yes, not because there are some people who do try to remind. Like girl, I've grown up. I've yes. grown. I've evolved.
Yeah.
But like I mean, like the core of like. Yeah. You know, you're light.
And I also want to make it clear, I'm not shitting on people that didn't leave their home state.
No.
I just can't relate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they might not be able to relate to you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't, there are literally people who still live in Youngstown, Ohio, and they're like, I don't understand why you like to live in New York. And
yes.
I'm like, that's fair.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I understand that. Like, okay, but I don't understand why you want to live in Youngstown.
Yeah.
That's why we have different places to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, New York is full. Y'all can stay there. You know, we always give flowers on this show, and I just want to give my flowers to Rachel Scott of ABC News, who was holding it down, in my opinion, at the NABJ convention and started with asking, you know, the orange man a question that he didn't like and proving her point in the question immediately. So I really appreciate her for doing that. So shout out to Rachel.
I want to give my flowers to, I'm going to keep the Olympic theme going, Dawn Staley.
Yeah.
Okay. So I played basketball growing up, come from a basketball family. Women's basketball, I know everyone's like, it's at its peak right now, but I kind of feel like it was at its peak when I was young, and Lisa Leslie and Cheryl Swoops and Dawn Staley. Mm. And just, it's another reminder of like, your story is never over. The way she has shown up as a coach for South Carolina, leading our women's basketball team, she's inspiring. She does it in her greatest fits.
Yes.
I'd
be laced down to the
in her little two-step, you know?
Yes.
I love her energy, and she's been someone I've admired ever since I was a child, and so I'm glad that she is literally getting her flowers, getting her rings, and getting them checks, too.
That part.
I want to give my flowers to Sha'Carri Richardson because she is up next, and, you know, the track and field is hitting this weekend. And I really am excited to see how she does. That's somebody else who is coming back yeah. from a setback.
Yes.
In the same way Simone did. And I am so proud of her, the way she was able to come back. And just, she is such, literally, like her and Simone both blow my mind with their abilities. And I can't even imagine the pressure of having such, like, possessing such power like that. And yes. then having to figure out how to move within this world and get the respect and, like, you know, just tame it. So I think I love her flair. I love her style. I wish her Vogue cover was print so I could have had it in my coffee table. But I cannot wait to see her hopefully win America some more gold.
Yes.
And
yes.
do what she was born Smoke to up. Do. The scientists yeah. said she literally could walk on water. That's how fast she goes.
What?
Like there were some scientists who were saying like technically like at the speed she goes, like it's the speed that if she was able to run that fast on water, she would not go down.
Wow.
Okay.
That was, I'm like, black women are magic. You cannot tell me any different. We are God's favorites.
That's phenomenal.
Like, it's nuts.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have this week. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation here at Wait a Minute. Be sure to let us know what you think. Drop a comment, subscribe. Give us a little heart and a follow. We will be back with more Kiki next week. Peace.